This is Lynn Fraser with the Kilby Center for Recovery and the Radical Recovery Summit. I'm really happy to be talking again with Annie Grace. And I just wanted to touch base with some of the people that have been on the summit and ask how it's going for you with COVID-19, what you're seeing, and then also what kinds of support are you able to give people right now? So whatever you'd like to say.
Awesome. Well, it's so great to be here. So thank you for having me. I have been seeing a lot of beating ourselves up, really, frankly. And I think that there's a lot of people who have fallen back into old patterns during this. And it's something really unprecedented. We've had, you know, experiences that none of us ever even imagined, much less have had before or prepared for. And so when we find ourselves either struggling mentally, where we really wish we were drinking and we're kind of holding on by a thread, or we actually start drinking or going back into those sorts of patterns, I think a lot of people are really beating themselves up. And I would just like to offer that, you know, all of the science that I have read and been through in the studies just say that's really counter to progress. And the progress can come from when you just really have so much like grace and compassion for yourself and start to you know, really say, okay, I'm doing the best I can with the tools I have. So what decision am I going to make next? And, you know, use every single moment as a new starting place. So, and I think the other thing that I've really seen a lot of is people getting really frustrated about the overall increase in alcohol. So I know that there's been, I mean, countless memes and skits and right, all sorts of stuff. And there's been all of these jokes in poor taste, obviously. Also, alcohol sales are increasing across the board, pretty much globally. In some areas of the world, they've actually, because they know that alcohol specifically is terrible for your immune system, they've actually shut down alcohol sales. And then we've seen things like, you know, child abuse and domestic violence increasing. So all sorts of things are happening. And you can't help sit and watch this and feel like frustrated and somewhat helpless. And I guess I'd just like to offer almost another perspective, which is that if I reflect back on my journey, I know that for me, things had to get worse before they got better. So I had to really move through knowing that alcohol wasn't going to actually relax me. You know, I had to do that. We see people who are like, first they're just joking about drinking at home, then they're joking about drinking before noon, and then they're joking about drinking first thing in the morning, and all rules are off now and everything's okay. And you can see that and just get so frustrated and so like, oh man, don't they know? But the truth is that they don't yet know. And so for me, I know that I had to run through that. Like I had to go through all of these phases and have things get worse before I got really curious and before I had the motivation to make things better. So, you know, in some ways, this is probably speeding up a lot of people's journeys. What could have taken them years to find a place where things finally, they realize that, oh my gosh, you know, this drinking isn't actually relaxing me. It isn't actually making things better, because that's what's going to happen. I mean, the reality is if you're drinking at 10 in the morning, then by 2 or 3, you're either going to be having a nap and then waking up miserable from it, or you're going to be just like totally grumpy and feeling awful the next day. I remember morning drinking turning into feeling like I had molasses in my veins for the rest of the day. The hangover starts in the evening. I mean, it was so awful, but I had to experience that and had to be like, wow, it's not helping for me to really get curious about, you know, what else could be out there and to actually look for a change. And so I guess I just want to offer that as another perspective, because I think two things are really happening. One, people are slipping and just beating themselves up, being so cruel to themselves. And two, people who aren't slipping are just having a lot of frustration about the whole situation, you know, and a lot of times things do get worse before they get better. And this might just be speeding up really radical and positive change in this whole conversation, which is, you know, just kind of an alternate way to look at the whole thing.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a hard thing to sit with, but it's very profound. Yeah. And with people's nervous systems so on edge right now, there's so much fear and grief and loss, it kind of makes sense that people are turning to what has helped in the past, even though we know that's not actually really going to help. Yeah,
and it's just going to give them additional points of it not helping. I mean, additional data points of, oh, okay, well, I tried it then and it still didn't help, you know? And I think that was one of the things in my personal journey was, you know, I really did kind of exhaust all options trying to make it work for me and fit into my life in one way or the other. And because I exhausted all options, when I finally was free of it, I was really free of it, because it wasn't just, you know, these niggles of, oh, well, what about in this situation? What about in that situation? What if I only do it this way? Because I'd done there. You know,
and you tried all of those.
Yeah.
Well, I used to drink and I quit when I was in my mid-20s and didn't really have much trouble quitting. But then like 40 years later, 30 years later, I started having ideas about, well, maybe I should just stop and get, you know, some liqueur or something. And I'm like, what's going on? Like, I haven't had this for decades, you know? And it was, there was some stress in my life and food wasn't really something I wasn't using food anymore for comfort. So my system 30 years before was going, hey, what about this? You know, you could do that. That might help. And so I didn't, because I don't want to get going on that path again, you know, but it was just interesting that that comes up as an option. And I imagine right now with people so stressed, it's coming back as more of an option than.
Yeah. And I think that people, you know, we all know the feeling of just wanting something, you know, whether that's
something, feel better.
Bread, or whether that's something is a cookie, or do you just have that feeling of just not quite, you know, feeling peaceful and just wanting something. And just, you know, that's when you open your refrigerator 100 times an evening. And when you flip through the channels, like you're just looking for that something. And as difficult as it is to get really curious about that feeling and almost observe it in its natural habitat and just be like, oh, okay, I felt this before. And, and really like allow for that feeling to exist. It will pass,
right?
And it passes even faster when you don't kind of scratch the itch, so to speak. Because when you scratch the itch, especially if you do it with anything that's addictive, whether it's sugar to, you know, to alcohol, to any drugs, you just really perpetuate that. I mean, it is very much reinforcing. And because alcohol specifically is a numbing agent, I mean, it does numb the brain and the body. When you're in pain and you drink, you really up your chances of it becoming a problem, you know? And I think that's another thing that, again, if we have to move through this, then maybe people are going to just move through it faster. But there's a lot of people who may have been social drinkers and now they are stressed and they're drinking for stress, because there's part of, you know, part of alcohol that does fit that bill. Now it numbs you for a very short amount of time, unless you make yourself totally unconscious. And then you wake up the next morning, everything is still there. And so we know it's not an effective way to actually feel better. However, the brain can get really confused and it can feel better in the moment. But it is in those moments of using, you know, drinking to self-medicate, that drinking does become, it really gets its hooks in you. And I say almost invariably in the people, I've now spoken to thousands of people, heard stories, and almost invariably when it changed from something that was not very problematic in terms of having impact in the rest of their life to something that was problematic, it was at that moment of, oh, I'm just going to do this to relax. I'm going to use this to de-stress. Or at that moment of something happening, whether it was a divorce or the birth of another child, which added a layer of stress, or a big move or a hard job or being laid off or any of those things, when alcohol was used in that context, the whole kind of journey of from, you know, drinking on occasion to drinking regularly to drinking all the time to realizing, okay, this is a problem, and actually trying to do something about it, that journey compressed as soon as we started using it to self-medicate.
Yeah. So it's not being used for fun. It's being used to medicate. Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. So why don't you tell us about some of the programs that you're doing? There's a lot of support that you have online for people.
Awesome. So we have the Alcohol Experiment, which is always free, and it's at alcoholexperiment.com. And it's a 30-day, just, I don't like to call it a challenge, but that would explain to you what it was, because it's much more of like a interrupt your patterns, just say, okay, how would it be if I wasn't actually using alcohol? Like, what would that be like? And every day I send you a video and an email, and it really helps to examine your beliefs and get really curious. You know, it's not meant to be rules or this intense like commitment to anything. It's just honestly meant to be an experiment. So that's at alcoholexperiment.com. And then we've also been doing, our coaches, certified This Naked Mind coaches, have been volunteering to coach just anybody who needs it. So that's ongoing for as long as we really feel like people need it. And that's at tnmconnection.com.
TNM, the Naked Mind Connection.com. Yes.
Exactly.
Okay. And so they go, they would go on, and there's a coach. Is that like a group?
Yeah. So it's a Zoom call, just like, you know, face to face, and people can go on. They can just, you know, be in the background, listen to other people's questions, or they can ask their own questions, and they would just get coached on whatever feelings or beliefs they're struggling with around alcohol. So, you know, typical questions that come to that call are like, well, what else do you do to relax? Or why am I triggered every day at this time? Or how do I handle, you know, this homeschooling if I'm not going to pour a glass of wine, or whatever issues are coming up. And so you actually can get a lot of benefit just by listening, kind of being a fly on the wall.
Right, right. Yeah. So those kinds of things are hard in a way, but they're so much easier to do when you've got support.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You got someone to talk to, someone who you can say this, and then people are going, yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. And what else can people find? I know that you have coaching programs if someone's really interested in going deeper.
Yeah, just everything's on thisnakedmind.com. So all sorts of stuff we have. Certified Naked Mind coaches. The program's not open right now, but we open it a few times a year, and different things like that. So there's lots of resources.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, thank you so much for connecting and coming on and talking a little bit about this. I think that, you know, the first thing you said about people are beating themselves up, that would be a really good takeaway for people to lighten up on themselves and really acknowledge how hard this time is. And so everyone's getting through it as they can. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks so much, Annie. We'll talk to you again. All right. Take care.
The Killaby Center for Recovery is reaching out to some of the people we've interviewed for the Radical Recovery Summit. We're asking, how can you support people that are struggling during the COVID-19 pandemic? There is a range of programs and supports that people are offering, as well as ways to frame this. What is it that's happening inside of you during this time? Come to radicalrecoverysummit.com to click right through to the interviews.